First, some consonants. The Latin letter B is pronounced B, as in the English word boy. Exception. Before the letters S or T, B is pronounced P, as in the English word stops, or the word stopped. C, in classical Latin, is always pronounced hard, G, as in the English word skin. The combination of letters CH appears in relatively few Latin words, most of which are of Greek origin. This combination is pronounced K, like the C in an emphatic pronunciation of the English word cup. D is pronounced D, as in the English word dog. F is pronounced F, as in the English word funny. G, in classical Latin, is always pronounced hard, G, as in the English word get, except when followed by N. The combination GN is pronounced N, as in the English words hangnail, ring neck, or wrong number. H is pronounced H, as in the English word happy, though perhaps a little more lightly. K is pronounced K, as in the English word skin. L is pronounced L, as in the English word low, or the English word fill. M at the beginning or middle of a word is pronounced M, as in the English word move. At the end of a word, M, as we previously heard, is pronounced with the lips apart, M, and produces a nasalization of the preceding vowel, as in the French word for camp, spelled C-A-M-P, but pronounced con. N is pronounced N, as in the English word nice, except before the letters C, G, and Q, U. In such combinations, the N is pronounced N, as in the English words anchor or anger. P is pronounced B, as in the English word spin. The combination of letters PH, like the combination CH, appears in relatively few Latin words, most of which are of Greek origin. This combination is pronounced P, like the P in an emphatic pronunciation of the English word pin. QU is pronounced qua, somewhat like the English QU in the word quack. S, in classical Latin, is always pronounced soft or unvoiced, s, as in the English words song and message. It is never pronounced hard or voiced, as in the English word closes. T is pronounced t, as in the English word stop. The combination of letters th, like the combinations ch and ph, also appears in relatively few Latin words, most of which are again of Greek origin. The combination th is pronounced t, like the t in an emphatic pronunciation of the English word top. X is pronounced x, as in the English word mix. Z is pronounced z, as in the English word zebra. Between vowels, the sound of the z is prolonged. The letter Z in Latin is found only in foreign loanwords. Two letters of the Latin alphabet, I and U, can function either as vowels or as consonants, in which case they are sometimes referred to as semi-vowels. In some texts, when I and U function as consonants or semi-vowels, I is printed as J, while U is printed as V. The pronunciation of consonantal I or J is Y, as in the English word yes. Between vowels, this sound is prolonged, as in the Latin word for greater, pronounced maior. The pronunciation of consonantal U or V is W, as in the English word win. The only consonant of classical Latin that has no close equivalent to any standard American English phoneme is the letter R. The Latin R, as we heard before, was pronounced with a distinct trill, rrr. Although the trilled R has no counterpart in standard American English pronunciation, it is easily recognized as the R that is used in Italian, Spanish, and in many other European languages. If one thinks of the sound of R in some common Italian musical terms, as they are pronounced in Italian, such as allegro, presto, maestro, or the name of the city Roma, we can have a fairly accurate notion of the sound of the Latin trilled R. Before leaving the classical Latin consonants, I should point out that all double or twin consonants, such as double L or double F, are held for a discernibly longer duration of time than the single consonant. A double S, for example, would correspond to the length of the double S in the English word hiss, as opposed to the shorter duration of the single S in the English word sap. In the case of those consonants which are called plosives or stops, such as C, P, or T, a doubling of the letter would require literally a longer stop before proceeding to the next vowel, comparable to the double T in the Italian word petto, as opposed to the incorrectly pronounced petto. This effect of lengthening that is produced by double consonants is of great importance in classical Latin poetry, as we shall soon see, where rhythms are based specifically on the length or quantity of the syllable. The effect of lengthening the sound of the consonant can also make a significant difference in the meaning of a word to the listener of classical Latin. For example, the Latin word for old woman is annus, with a single N. If we double the N, making annus, the listener hears not the word for old woman, but the word meaning year. When we come to those letters of the Latin alphabet that represent vowels and diphthongs, native speakers of English are in a somewhat peculiar position. While many of the classical Latin vowels and diphthongs do have approximate phonetic counterparts in English, the English phonemes are generally represented by letters that are quite different from those used for the Latin phonemes. The chief reason for this is what many linguists refer to as the great vowel shift in English, a phenomenon which took place mainly during the 15th century. As a result of the great vowel shift, most vowels and diphthongs in modern English are represented by different letters from those used in most other Indo-European languages, ancient and modern. However, the adjustment to a different system of vowel representation is not very difficult. Students of modern languages, such as French, Spanish, Italian, and German, make this adjustment quite rapidly. The same is true, I am sure, for students of classical Latin. Vowels in classical Latin, as in many other languages, have two elements that determine their distinctive phonemic characteristics. These elements are the quality of the vowel and the quantity or length of the vowel. The quality of the vowel is determined by the point of articulation of the speech organs as the air passes from the larynx out through the mouth. For example, the high versus the low position of the tongue, or the front versus the back position of the tongue. In English, this can be readily seen by observing the changed position of the tongue in the series of words bet, but, bought. In classical Latin, there is a similar change in tongue position from the forward-sounded letter I, pronounced E, to the back-sounded U, pronounced U. These are some examples of different vowel quality. The quantity or length of a vowel is determined by its duration, that is, whether it is held for a relatively short or long interval. The Latin vowels represented by the letters A, E, I, O, U in some syllables or words are found to be long, in other syllables or words are found to be short. It should be observed, however, that with the exception of the vowel A, the long vowels differ from short vowels in classical Latin not only in quantity, but also, as we shall hear, in quality. There is no general rule in classical Latin to predetermine the length of the vowels, although there are certain cases that can be predicted. For example, all ablatives in the singular, except those of the third declension, end in a long vowel. In general, however, the length of the vowels must be learnt as part of the spelling of the word or looked up in the dictionary. Let's now consider the vowels individually. Short A is pronounced A, like the letter O in the English word top, or like the first A in the Italian word amare. A. Long A is pronounced A, like the letter O in the English word bother, or like the second A in the Italian word amare. A. Short E is pronounced E, like the letter E in the English word set. It is relatively open and short. E. Long E is pronounced E, like the vowel in the German word Zeit. Try to keep the sound pure, so that it does not become a diphthong, as in the English word say. The Latin sound is relatively closed and long. E. Short I is pronounced I, like the I in the English word sit. I. Long I is pronounced E, somewhat like the double E in the English word seed, or like the I in the French word vive. E. Short O is pronounced O, somewhat like the letter O in the English word port. Like short E, it is relatively open and short. O. Long O is pronounced O, like the vowels of the French word bu or the German word zu. Try again to keep the sound pure so that it does not become a diphthong, as in the English word so. Like the long E, the Latin sound is relatively closed and long. U. Short U is pronounced U, like the vowel in the English word put. U. Long U is pronounced U, like the vowel sound in the English word cool. U. The letter Y was introduced into Latin to represent the Greek letter ypsilon, and is found primarily in words of Greek origin. Y is pronounced like the Greek ypsilon, U, which is similar to the vowel sound in the French words lune and mur, and in the German word über. To produce this sound, put your lips in the position for U, as in the vowel of the English cool, but try to pronounce the sound of E, as in the vowel of the English seed, while still maintaining the rounded lip position. the result should be U, the sound of Y. We now come to the pronunciation of the diphthongs. A diphthong is actually a combination of two vowels that glide together within the bounds of one syllable. Diphthongs in classical Latin are always considered quantitatively long. Starting with those diphthongs which begin with the letter A, we have first the diphthong AE, which is pronounced I, like the letters EI in the English word height. I. The diphthong AU is pronounced how, like the letters OW in the English word now. Ow. The first diphthong beginning with E is the combination EI pronounced A, like the vowel sound in the English word say. A. The diphthong EU does not, to my knowledge, have any close parallel to sounds in English or in other commonly studied modern languages, but it should not be difficult to grasp. It is pronounced EU, a glide from the sound of short E to that of short U. EU. The diphthong OE is simple to learn. It is pronounced OI, as in the English words soil and boy. Oi. The diphthong UI, like the diphthong EU, has no close equivalent in standard English or in other commonly studied modern languages, but it should present little difficulty. It is pronounced UI, a glide from the sound of short U to that of short I. Again, UI. Now that I have presented the various categories of consonants, vowels, and diphthongs, I think it would be useful to recapitulate this aspect of the pronunciation of classical Latin. Starting from the beginning, I'll proceed through the Latin alphabet letter by letter, pronouncing each consonant, vowel, or diphthong separately, and leaving a short pause between each one for you to practice the sound immediately after it has been heard. The alphabet is printed in the accompanying booklet with the international phonetic symbol placed alongside of each letter. Short A. A. Long A. A. The diphthong AE. I. The diphthong AU. Ow. The letter B. B. Exception. B before T or S is pronounced B, as in the Latin word for city, urps. C. G. The combination CH. Huh. The letter D. D. Short E. E. Long E. E. The diphthong EI. A. The diphthong EU. L. The letter F. F. G. G. Exception. The combination GN is pronounced ng, as in the Latin word for great, magnus. The letter H. Short I. I. Long I. E. consonantal I. Y. K. K. L. U. M. M. Exception. Final M is nasalized with the lips apart, M, and produces a nasalization of the preceding vowel, as in the Latin word for war, bellum. N. N. Exception. N before the letters C, G, or QU is pronounced N, as in the Latin word for anchor, ancora. Short O, O. Long O, O. The diphthong OE, OI. The letter P, P. The combination PH, P. The letter R, R. S, S. T, T. The combination TH, T. Short U, U. Long U, U. Consonantal U, W. The diphthong UI, UI. The letter X, X. Y, U. Z, Z. At this point, it might be helpful to provide some additional practice in the pronunciation of those elements of the Latin vowels and consonants that do not have common equivalents in the English phonemic system, or that function somewhat differently in English. I refer especially to the consonants C and G, the trilled R, final M, and finally to the contrast in quality between long and short vowels. First, we'll practice the consonants C and G paired successively to each of the short and long vowels. The same procedure will then be used with the trilled R, and finally, we'll have some practice with final M. I leave a pause after each sound to give you a chance to practice it. This exercise is printed in the accompanying booklet. The consonant C. Ga. Ga. Ge. 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 Ki. Go. 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 The consonant G. Ga. Ga. Ge. 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 Gi. Go. 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 The consonant R. Ra. Ra. Re. 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 Ri. Ro. ro, ro, ru. Final M, AM, A, EM, N, IM, I, UM, O. The combination OM has been omitted since final OM does not exist in classical Latin. It is important to remember that the vowel immediately preceding final M is itself nasalized and becomes a long vowel, as we previously heard in the Latin word bellum. In those cases of elision where final M is elided, it is probable that the nasalization was heard together with the vowel elements in the syllable that results from the elision. This phenomenon will be discussed and demonstrated later in the recording.